Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's The Secret is Prayer podcast with Lauren, Yvette, and Maria. And in today's podcast, the title is Let Jesus Steal You Away. So let's go straight in to today's teaching. Lauren, do you want to start us off with prayer?
Yes. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us here together today. Please protect our minds and our hearts and give us wisdom and courage to say and do the right things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lauren, let's get right into today's teaching.
Okay, so I think in our last podcast, we ended with, it was on the confession, and we ended with talking about our spiritual side and spiritual death. And so we're going to talk a little bit more on our spiritual sides, investing on our spiritual side this podcast. And we're still speaking from the standards point of view and from the woman point of view, because, you know, we're speaking based on our experiences and our journey. And so today's podcast, I named it Let Jesus Steal You Away, because once you start, so where we're at is you're making your stand, you're praying for restoration, and you're praying for your husband. And we also spoke about repentance. So the idea behind Let Jesus Steal You Away is that once you make the decision to stand and to start praying for your husband, you're probably going to start feeling some distance between you and your spouse if you don't already. And things might start, it might seem that things are turning for the worst as you're praying harder and harder, but that's only because the war has just begun, and there's a lot going on the spiritual side that we can't see. And that can get kind of scary. During that time, as that distance begins, you might start feeling alone, and with that comes fear, and then maybe even resentment or anger or vengeance. You start going through a lot of those feelings, and if you're a busybody, if you've been married for a long period of time, for several years, a lot of times we don't know how to go back to being alone and to being still. And I believe that Jesus needs to get us there, that's one of the places we need to get to first in order to hear him. And to begin that fellowship, because like for me, I didn't know how to do that, because I was, when you're a wife and a mom, you're most likely, busy from the time you get up to the time you go to bed. Your days are full, and then if you have a career with that too, or you're taking care of, parents or an elderly person or something, like your days are full. So we don't know how to be still or to be by ourselves. And as that distance grows and you see that you're being more by yourself, that can get kind of scary. But those were one of the most, I thought being alone was, I think, part of the, or one of the most, looking back, because at first it didn't seem that way, but looking back, like those were some of the most beautiful moments, or where you saw or learned the most, or where you felt Jesus the closest, because that's where he wants you. And so in being alone, I wanted to go over some scriptures to maybe study and to go back and read. And one of those is the woman at the well. And I think we touched on it a little bit in one of our other podcast because when we talked about repentance too before, you know, when I was reading the woman at the well, because I felt like I could, as I was reading scripture and learning, I felt like I could relate to several of the women in scripture, you know, from Mary to the woman at the well, to the woman at Bethany, to the adulterous woman. Like there were several I could relate as I read those and I studied those, I could relate to each of those women. But today I wanted to talk about the one of the women that I want to talk about was about the woman at the well, because as I was reading her scripture again, you know, she goes to the well and Jesus is there, and Jesus is there by himself, you know, because he was traveling with his disciples, and his disciples all left to go buy food. And this is 12 disciples, and they all went, you know, like it's almost like he sent them away because he knew he was going to speak to the woman at the well, because they all went together and they left him there by himself. And when the woman walks up, Jesus asked her for a drink of water. And then the Samaritan woman, she, you know, she was, they didn't speak to the Jews then. So she's surprised that he's even talking to her. And so then, but he uses that to begin the conversation. And then Jesus tells her, because she tells him, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink? Jews don't associate with Samaritans. But then Jesus answers her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So there, you know, I noticed where it said, if you knew the gift of God. And we don't know, you know, I didn't know the gift of God. He's saying, if you knew the gift of God. And I think we miss that. You know, we don't know the gift of God. I didn't know what all God could do for me. I didn't know that he could restore not only my marriage, but restore me, restore my husband, restore my children. You know, like he restores everything. He does it. It might be your marriage that brought you to him, but the gift of God is not just a piece here and there. If you stick with God, he's wants to gift you a life of freedom, of joy, and of peace. And he says, if you knew the gift of God, and I think that's where all of us are at, you know, like we don't know, we didn't know that. We didn't, because I always felt like, why didn't I know this before? Why didn't I know this before? And how could I not know this? You know, I go to church, I have all my sacraments, I say my prayers, but I didn't know the gift that he was talking about. And so I thought, go ahead.
But I guess what scripture, do you know which scripture it is?
That's the Samaritan woman. That's John. It's John 4.
Chapter 4. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Verse 10.
Okay. And I guess, and you talk about that you didn't know. And I guess going back to the woman at the well. Now she was not in the well. excuse me. But I guess because she was, I guess it portrayed her as being angry, you know, being resent, you know, having those feelings, resentment, and
she's a perfect example.
Like angry, right? Mm-hmm. So is that what you were talking about, Lauren? Like having those feelings that kind of block where you're not hearing God.
Right, because because she was going to the well and she was by her, you know, going by herself. Like she mm-hmm. didn't, she wasn't going when the other women would go or with anybody else. At that point, she's already like going by herself. And I think we talked about it before, like when going to the well, like that's a chore, you know, I have to get up and go get water. You know, I think mm-hmm. some of us experience how hard that can be when you don't have water, when we went through the freeze here in Texas.
Yep. And you're carrying around buckets.
Yeah. And you're carrying around buckets and water and trying to, you know, and it's a chore. So, mm-hmm. this woman didn't have, you know, I think she was at a place where she was feeling hopeless and where she was feeling like, is this all there is? And, you know, maybe how did I get here? Or, you know, why am I being treated this way? Or, you know, I mean, I think she's at the point where, and she's, and two, that she's an older lady. They don't describe her as a young, you know, a young girl. Woman. They just, yeah, they describe her as, she comes across as an older woman. So I think that's when you're already in your point in life too, that, you know, is this all there is?
Right.
Yeah. Well, and she had been with several men, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, let me, and then the script, then he goes on and Jesus tells her, if you knew the water that I have for you, the living water, if you knew the water that I have for you, the living water, then you would have asked me and I would have given it to you. And it's a, but whoever drinks of this water that I shall give will never thirst again, you know, and that's, that's true, you know, because once you build that fellowship with him, once you're, you have that friendship, that intimate relationship with him, then you won't ever thirst again, because you know that he's there for you, you know, and that we need him and that we can't be without him. And so that was one, that was, oh, the husbands. So then he tells her, go and call your husband. Yeah. Oh, cause she goes, I want some of that water. And he tells her, well, go and call your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. And he tells her, you're right. You have had five husbands and the man that you're with now is not your husband. Mm-hmm. So here's a woman that has, you know, been in several relationships. And even then, whatever relationship she's in now, Jesus is telling her that's not your, it's not a legitimate marriage, you know, no matter what you say, he, in his eyes, it's not a marriage and that is not your husband either. So he already knows her past, her life, you know, and the, one of the good things that I think we miss in this story is that she doesn't deny that. She tells him, you're a prophet. You know, so you're a prophet. So she doesn't deny and say, well, how do you know that that's, you know, that that's, I've been with five.
She doesn't question men. Him.
Yeah, she doesn't. And she doesn't get mad. Like, you don't know who, you know, who you're talking to or how dare you say that about me. And who do you think you are? She doesn't. She comes, you know, she's in that way, she's humble, you know, and she respects him and she doesn't deny it, you know? And I think that that's one of the things too that you learn as you come to Jesus, that you can be yourself. He already knows your story. He already knows what has happened. You don't have to hide behind, you know, the thing, the mistakes that you've done, you know, and the healing can't really begin until we're able to do that when we're in front of him, you know,
but because you think rock bottom, right?
Right.
When you hit rock bottom, you're already, when you hit rock bottom, this is who I am.
Right. Right. Because if you, you know, if you can't be honest, then the healing can't begin. He can't heal you. He already knows all that thing. And if you're still trying to hide it, then you're not seeing how great he is. You know, you're kind of denying who he is.
And remember, we're already, well, we're all dead until we become reborn. And I wanted to touch go back to when we were talking about the spiritual gifts or the gift from God, because I have, on John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, there's a verse here that Jesus says, and it says, truly, I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I think that kind of goes with everything, because she is a sinner, because we know that she's
right.
Her husband. And here's Jesus. And if you think about it, when he's talking to her, she can't really see him as who he is, because she's still dead from her sin until he reveals it for her, I think.
Yes.
At that moment, you know?
And I think that's, and I think when, I think we can recognize when we're there, and that's where we either choose to run and continue to hide, or do we accept it right then and there and take responsibility and stay with him.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, and we had read recently, I can't remember if it was, you know, because I know we text each other back and forth and ask each other, what's, you know, what did you get today, you know, in scripture. And I know we had gotten something to where, you know, when you hit rock bottom, you hit, you become dust, you know, you're back on the ground, you become dust. And that's when God can,
now work with you, work on you to build you up, you know,
to resurrect you.
To resurrect you. And that's where I think she was when you hit rock bottom and you're like,
and wow. I think, you know, and we might see that as bad, but now looking back, that was the best thing that could happen, you know, because it's like, you know what, this stops here, you know, this stops here. And it is your choice, because you can choose to, okay, Jesus, help me, save me, change me. Or you can say, deny him and say, well, I don't think you can do it, and walk away, you know?
Yeah.
But she, I think she just lost hope that she's like waiting. She just wants something. She wants, like he said, like that water. Like,
well, he tells her, she tells him, I want that water. Give me that water. And that's all it took, because then after that, she was saved, you know?
You're right. And I think that's where that veil was lifted for her.
Yes.
You
know?
Yes.
Because he told me the truth, and she was excited. And I think, you know, because I think he started with her, right? Where he said, go spread the word.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yes. And then she went and she told everybody, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's all it took, is for her to say, yes, well, I want that water, you know? And I think we don't think that it's that simple, but it really is that simple.
Yeah.
And he finds you because he found her, you know, where exactly she was going to be at her worst moment, where she would finally listen to him. And
look what he used. He used the water, you know, at the well, like that's where it was just, he was alone with her there, because what are the chances of all the disciples leaving him there? And he sent all of them to go buy food. All of you, you know, and then,
well, and they didn't want to go anywhere near the Samaritans, right? In that story,
right? But remember, that's true. So, so then another of the women, was the one that asked God for scraps, and that's in Mark. And I don't have it right in front of me, but it's in Mark, and it's the woman who's seeking help for her daughter. Who has an unclean spirit, and she comes she falls at Jesus' feet, and she keeps asking him to cast out the demon, and but Jesus tells her, and again, this is a woman, I forgot where, she was also a woman that was looked down upon, she was a Gentile woman. So she was, I don't know what she did, but she was looked down on. She was considered, you know, like the bottom.
I think because she was a Gentile too.
Right. So she comes to Jesus, and then to, you know, beg Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter. You know, she's desperate. She's at his feet. And then Jesus tells her, let the little children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's food and throw it to the little dogs. So when Jesus says little dogs, he's talking about her, you know, and most likely she was a non-believer maybe, or she didn't have, you know, her faith wasn't strong, or she, you know, was not living a faithful life, you know?
Yeah, she's done some pretty bad stuff.
Yeah, she had done some bad things. And so, again, here Jesus tells her, you know, when Jesus tells her, let the little children be filled first, and calls her a little dog. Jesus gives priority to the children, you know, and but her either. She doesn't get mad, you know? Mm-hmm. She doesn't say, well, forget it then, you know, and walks away, or you don't want to help me, or, you know, she remains humble, and she accepts, you know, because she knows it's true what he's telling her, you know, so she accepts that in a respectful, humble way, and she responds that even the little dogs under the table eat crumbs.
Yeah.
So it's almost like she's, you know, give me just a little bit of leftover, you know, miracle, even just please help my daughter, you know. So
she'll take the tiniest.
Well, when it comes to your crumbs, kids, no matter what I did, please don't blame them, you know.
Yeah,
help me.
because she believed in him. She came to him. She fell at his feet. You know, she respected him and she was persevering, you know. So I think that's another one that I can relate to, you know, because when you're, especially when you're worried about your family and your kids and, you know, I think we can all, you know, being a wife or being a mom and you can relate to that. And I think that whereas before, maybe you see like, well, no, this woman was a Gentile, you know, and it says that she wasn't, you know, considered clean or whatever, but no, in the life that we live, you know, where we are now, I think we can all relate to this woman in some way, you know, because we're all sinners. Yeah. So, and when we come to Jesus, we, you know, we have to come in that way. We have to be humble.
And I guess for those like who commit adultery, or there's another woman or there's another man, that we have to see them as like this woman, you know, coming, that they still, you know, they have children or they may have children or somebody in their life. And even though no matter what they did or what they did with your spouse, God is going to forgive. I mean, God will forgive them, you know. And so if he can do it, you know, we should also.
Right. No, that's a very good point. We shouldn't look down on anybody else, you know. No. And even then, that person is not our enemy. And we have to remember that Jesus wants to save everybody. He doesn't want anyone to perish.
And really, I think, too, an important lesson we need to learn is forgiving them. It's not really for their benefit, because we can pray for them. Maybe they won't change. Maybe they will change. But I think it's for us, too. So we don't hold that anger and bitterness and resentment.
Yeah, because that's not something that's not something that you want to carry with, you know, because that plants the seed, you know, that plant, that little bit of hate, that little bit of unforgiveness, that little bit of vengeance, that plants a seed, and that just grows and grows and grows. Yeah. And then you become, you know, that bitter woman or that angry woman or that, you know, because it does build, you know, once you plant that seed, it will grow. And it gives the enemy an opportunity to to feed that, you know. So, right. And then the last one that I want to talk about is the adulteress. And I think this one's in Levi 20.
Luke?
Luke? I'm sorry. It's in, Yvette, I forgot in which one it's in.
But that's the story where the Pharisees want to stone her, right?
Right. The Pharisees want to stone her. So they bring her. It's in John. I'm sorry. It's in John 8. So okay. It's the woman caught in adultery. So they're trying to trick Jesus or trap him, right? They're trying to catch him in something that he says.
Trying to find him lying or something.
Right. They're trying to find a reason to accuse him. Yeah. So, the Pharisees bring the woman who's been caught in adultery, in the act of adultery, and they put her in front of the crowd. And they say, teacher, to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? So it says that they were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Mm-hmm. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Yeah. Now here, you know, we might think of the adultery, this woman, and say, well, I haven't committed adultery. No, it wasn't me who did the wrong. You know, it was my spouse. But in this story, we need to be very careful, because we can be the crowd that brings our spouse to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And brings our spouse to Jesus and is saying, and we're saying, look at what he or she did, you know, that she or he should be stoned. And we have to be very careful with that, because here where Jesus says, you know, you who has never sinned, throw the first stone. And we can't do that, you know, because we have sin. We're all sinners.
And us three here can testify that when we ask God to show us God our sins, or show us, you know, what is it, Psalm 51, mm-hmm. you know, that he did.
Right. You know? Yes.
Because we did yes. say, you know, here this person is, you know, throw the book at him, Jesus.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And like I need a divorce because he did that, or he did this. And that justifies my divorce, or that justifies me meeting with somebody else, or mm-hmm. that justifies my revenge or whatever. And no, it doesn't.
No.
It does
and you not. Know, for me, I will share, you know, the betrayal for me. It was someone who I considered a really good friend. I knew her since we were five. And so for me, I'm here like, are you kidding me? And, you know, Lorena, you're like, you have to forgive. And I'm just like, no, you know, but as the days go on, the lighter the heart gets. And it's, I will say, you know, it is, takes time. It is something that I'm still working on. And I ask him every day, help me, show me how to forgive her, because I was betrayed twice as hard. You know, I feel like with my husband and then with her, you know.
Right.
So but did you ask him to show you like your sins?
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And say, so yeah. coming say, to
remember this, remember
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. And right? I think, you know, in a way, I think that was one of the big things, you know, because my husband at the time, you know, he does have two kids, and he was with the mother of his kids. And even though their relationship was kind of rocky, you know, we started talking. And so I'm like, wait a minute, I'm an adulterer too. Even though I was, you know, 17, 18 years old, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, even though I was a kid, you still know better in a sense, mm-hmm. right? Because my mom didn't raise me that way. And so right. when
and I think we don't understand too the consequences, you know, like we're and a lot of this, and I think that's why in the first scripture where he says you don't know the gift of God, because I think and we know some of it, but we don't fully understand the consequences mm-hmm. because we're still making decisions, and it does affect us or our kids, you know, one way or the other. It goes affecting, and that doesn't go away. I think as you get as you learn and as you get older, then you do become more responsible for your actions. But I think definitely that he does show you because time doesn't stand still, right? Time doesn't stand still, and it keeps going. And those, you know, we might see things very small and how they're not, that they might not affect us, or it might not be a big deal, or we'll get over it or whatever. But no, you know, the consequences, we can't go back and erase those. But if you bring it to Jesus and you bring it to him honestly, and sometimes we don't even know what they are, you know, God has to show us, God wants to show us what, you know, sometimes we need to see it through his eyes to understand, because a lot of the stuff that I think happened, we can't fully understand it until we hear it from him.
Yeah. And it's hard. Don't get me wrong. Cause I think when he shows us our sins, some of them are real, and it's like, oh, that was, you know, it wasn't a good choice in my life, you know? But we have to remember, if he forgives us, we can forgive those who hurt us, because we hurt him over and over again.
Right. And I think that's a big point there too, Yvette, that in order for us to be forgiven, then we must forgive. And we might think that, well, we don't have a lot that, you know, our list is shorter. But it actually you know, isn't
when you start everything you did, you know.
And some of those things are pretty big that we don't realize, you know, how those decisions affected us, and that's why it's really important to do it with your and that alone time while you're doing that, you know, while you're going through all this. And I think it's very important to study those women and see what you can get from that and learn from that, because while you're doing that with Jesus, he's working on your spouse too, you know? So don't he's like, let me take care. I'll take care of your spouse. That's because I'm going to work on him in the same way I'm working with you. So let me work on him and I'm going to work on your marriage. But let's me and you, you know, I want to talk to you. I want to know what you. Yeah, he's like, yeah, exactly. Let's get to know each other. And I, you know, I got to, you know, it's just the way he does it, because he knows how to get to your heart, you know. And I think that's, it's a very beautiful thing. And I would hate for anybody to miss out on that, because it is, that's where your freedom comes from, you know, because once you do that with him and you let him heal you and you let him be in you, you know, where you're with him all the time, then it's a totally different way of living, of life, and no one will ever be able to take that away from you again. Right, and then
he wants a relationship. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
And any sin, what is it, every sin, no matter how big, how small, is a sin, you know. So no matter what, you know, you did, what your husband did, it's equal in the eyes of
that's what I was gonna say. Right. We talked about that, right? I think we did. Like, it doesn't matter to God, everything is the same. It's equal. Yeah.
Right. And I think that they and a lot of times the smaller sins have a bigger impact on our spiritual life than some of the bigger sins, you know, and we forget about the effects that it has on our spiritual life, because that's the life that goes on forever, you know. That's your eternal life, and Jesus shows you in this journey how important that is.
Yeah. And you have to go willingly. I think there's one thing we all need to remember is he doesn't force us. It's, we still have free will, but I mean, who wouldn't want to choose him?
Right. And the choice, you know, the choice, you're right, but the choice is ours. We can, you know, if you're, you know, imagine yourself at that well and he's there, you know, and he tells you these things, are you going to, how would you react? Because I think, you know, maybe after hearing this, you're a little more open to it. Mm-hmm. And, but I think before, I, you know, I'd probably be like, get your own water and walk away, you know?
Well, you know, and I think for us being humans, we're like, sometimes we can dish it, but we can't take it, right?
Right, so
we
can sit
there and be like, this, and this, but it's like, oh no, don't tell me. I didn't do that. No.
Probably go back and be like, Yvette, don't go to the well.
Like, you
don't go to the well. There's somebody there.
But I think she was very brave, because she could have easily walked away, you know, or like the woman who was there for her daughter, willing to take the tiniest crumb of anything that he would give her. Like, that takes a lot. You have to get that pride and
pride.
You have to humble yourself, because if not, that pride will stand in your way.
And once he does that, you know, he's telling you, these are your sins, or this is what you have done, right? Like he did to the woman in the well. Then you have to take that in, soak that in, you know, and then say, okay, you know, well, what is it I need to do? What is it? Because now you got to face it. You know, you got to face what he's just shown you, and that's hard, you know, to go back and then say, you know, I'm sorry this. And I know I personally, I did do that, you know, even though my husband did what he did or whatever, I did apologize for my part in what I was shown through God's eyes, because at the time I didn't think I had done anything wrong. And I did apologize, and note to self, that may not change anything, you know, but the feeling that it gives you, that you've already like, you know, like when you go to confession or you just confess everything to God, like that lady in the well, you know, like in that series, the Chosen, like she was running back, you know, running back, wanting to share the news. And I'm guessing she ran back to her husband, to the first one, or I can't remember who, and apologized.
Well, because if you think about it, I think it could be like a, I don't know what it would be. I don't think a metaphor, but you know, when you're holding those waters on your shoulders, how heavy that was. It was almost like he took that burden. So she left
very
the water.
Good.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Like that's
everything
it. Like,
lifted
no,
off her
taking,
shoulders.
He's taking everything off. Like
everything. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. She doesn't, it doesn't matter what was coming, you know, coming to her. She was willing to, yes, you know, I did it. This is this man, because she's ready to say, look at him, you know, go to him, direct people to him. So, which is the main point in all this, right? Is directing people back to this, no matter what your relationship is, no matter, you know, and that's why we say, don't put your focus too much on your husband or what's going on with your husband. Yes, that's important, but not the overall picture or the goal, which is God's kingdom agenda, right?
Yeah,
and you're not gonna
I was gonna say, like, even for me, I think he calls you, he'll call one person because he wants to make he called me to get my journey going. He saved me first, you know, before he brought my husband and I back together to restore everything, you know. But even though he's still working on my husband parallel, but I think, yeah, like for me, it was just me and him. He got me. And I think I saw it on TikTok, and this is really good because he'll isolate you, you know? So it's not like he's trying to keep you away from anybody, but he needs that one-on-one time. And that's the way they said it on TikTok. I forgot it was a girl, but yeah, he'll take you and isolate you. So he's the only one you need.
Right.
Yes.
And don't be afraid of that. Cause I think at first it's scary. Yeah. But once he lets you know that he's there and that he's the only one that you need, it becomes something totally different. And freedom is you're not going to find it anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good point too, Yvette, how you and your husband were on different, you know, your journeys were different, you know, because you might've came to Jesus sooner and accepted him sooner, or, you know, found that, repented sooner, or your journey might have been, you know, really different and really quick, to where his is taking a little bit longer, and we have to be okay with that, because we can only control what we do. We can only control what we do and the decisions that we make, and you know, those consequences are ours, and we have to take responsibility and accountability for those. And we can't expect our spouses to do it at the same time, because it's not going to happen that way. It would be great if it does, but it's not. And that's okay. It's okay, because, that's why it's important. Or it can. Yeah, it can. Like, that's true.
That's a good, you know, it can. We're seeing it can. Yeah.
Well, cause I don't think it was, I guess if you think about April, 2021 for me, and then August, 2021. So it was a few months, but I think it's cause he needed to get me where he had me so I can forgive him. Because I think if it wasn't, if it didn't work out that way, I don't know if I would be here right now.
Right.
You know? Or no, that's true. I hate to point it this way. I think he has a plan, but I always wonder too, like, if he didn't get Lorena where she was at, because with her, she helped me. So
you, see, right. Like, and
there's a lot of moving pieces.
Yeah. And we have to accept that we're not going to know everything that's happening, you know, and it might seem like our spouses are more distant and we don't know what's going on, and they're, you know, we don't know what they're doing or whatever it is, but
maybe he's isolating them.
Right. And so we need to trust Jesus in his entirety with everything, you know, because we're not going to see a lot of things, you know, and he's only going to let us know things or reveal things to us as we're ready for them. So that's where you start learning that patience, and it's very important that we learn to be still and that we learn to be alone with him. And then you're going to learn because you're going to need that as you go. And then at the end, those are going to be your strengths.
Yeah. And it's okay to cry. I think I cry a lot.
Oh yeah.
Not as much, but you know, there was plenty of times, you know, in the shower or in my room by myself or in the restroom. You're going to have those moments, but it's okay.
Yeah. I still have those moments.
Just talk to him. They don't come as much.
Just yesterday.
Well, I did have one yesterday too.
Right before this call.
It's okay. It's okay to cry.
But I will say, like, I had my moment, you know, I cried it out, and it was like, he sent a message through, and then I get a text message from my husband that was like a little devotional that Jesus said, your faith is great, woman, you know, and it's just like, what? Thank you.
Dan, he didn't do that. And I mean, he just decided to send you a text. You know what was going on.
He saw
those little moments that God sends you. Yeah.
So when he got home, it was like a few minutes later, I'm still like, eyes are puffy. And he's like, did you get my text? I'm like, yeah, could you tell? Like, I said, I had a moment with Jesus. And then you text me that. And so, yeah. He'll show up any minute.
He will.
Yeah.
I learned, like, we can
testify. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. No doubt he will show up. And yeah. I think just, you know, come to him and say, I want the living water. Yeah. I'm ready. I want the living water.
Because water is something we need to live on. And I think, like he says, and I think maybe that was something that got the woman in the well, the Samaritan, you know, her eternal life. Like, I have the water. You'll never go thirsty again.
Right.
You know, because I think, what did she say? Like, this is Jacob's well. And
yeah, because it's, yeah, this is the. Mm-hmm.
Because it was man-made. So that's what we have to remember. It's not the man-made stuff that we need. Don't get attached to the world's man-made stuff.
Right.
We need the spiritual life. That's our eternal life. And that's the spiritual gift that we get from God.
Right. And that can only come through Jesus.
Only through Jesus. That's right.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Did we go through all the points for today?
And also, you know, I think one of the things that we all can agree on too is that he will, because it's important to, our spouses are a gift from God. So let's talk about that really quick. You know, in the beginning, you might not feel like they're a gift, but
the beginning of your journey or your valley.
The beginning of your journey of your, yeah, when, you know, when you decide to stand, you know, but we forget that our spouses are a gift. Everything belongs to everything. God created everything, you know, everything belongs to him. He gives and he takes, you know, and that goes for our spouses too, you know, and our children too. They're a gift. And
that's like that scripture you got today, Lauren. What was it?
Oh yeah. For Jonah. Cause Jonah was angry because he didn't want to, he was a prophet and he didn't want to go preach to the people in Nineveh because they were bad people. And he didn't want to preach to them. He was like, no, just get rid of them. You know, they're murderous people. They're evil. Just get rid of them. Why do you want me to preach to them? And it was, I think, like 120,000 people. And so Jonah gets really angry. Well, he, you know, then he goes in the well and all that. He goes, he preaches to the people and he saves them. And then after they're saved, he's in the desert and God gives him a plant to give him shade. And then, but Jonah's angry over the saving of the people. He still didn't see the purpose of saving the people. And so he's angry and he's like, I just want to end my life. I'm angry. Why do we even save them? Why do we do any of that? And so then God gives him the plant for the shade and then he takes it away. God creates he puts a worm and it eats the plant. So then Jonah gets even more mad, like, oh, I'm so angry. I just don't want to live anymore. You know, you took away the plant, you know, and now I don't have any shade and the sun is really strong. And so God tells them, why are you mad about the plant? I gave you that plant. You didn't work to grow that plant. I gave you that plant. So I have every right to take it away. You're mad over a plant, but you don't get mad about trying and you're mad about saving. Or how was it you're mad about? We just saved 120,000 people. And you're over here angry about a plant, you know, that I put there.
That you didn't even plant. Yeah.
Yeah. That you didn't even plant. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's where we get like, you know, I don't want to stand or I don't want to pray for him. You know, he did whatever and I don't want to pray
for
him.
Mad.
Take him away, you know, remove him. But no, our spouses are a gift. And that's why it's very important to, you know.
He's saying he's not even yours to give away.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
No, he didn't even belong
that's
to
you. He's like, you should, you know, I'm trying to save him. I'm trying to save his spirit so that he can, you know, have an eternal life with me, you know, with you. And you're over here, you're angry about this stuff. You know, not only am I trying to save him, I'm trying to save you too. You know, because divorce, you know, we spoke about spiritual death, that divorce, it's not only going to affect him, but it's going to affect you too. And it's going to affect your kids. So you're opening that door, you know, for that. And so I think we need to remember that our spouses are a gift, and just like God give them to us, you know, he can take them away at any time. And so that's something to think about there too. And we can't save them. Only Jesus can. So we can only control what we do. So don't be surprised that you're getting closer to Jesus and, you know, and you're seeing all this revelation and you're learning all these things, and he's not up for that, or your spouse is not up for that. They don't want to hear it. You know, it's just that they're not ready yet, because it's not until Jesus is ready to open their eyes that happens. And then also, you know, staying obedient. You know, he tells the adulterous woman, go and sin no more. So when you begin that repentance and you begin that journey and you're getting closer to God, it's important that you remain obedient and that you try not to sin no more. Now, we all sin every day, but it's important that you really start considering all your decisions. And you can't be out there partying and dating while God works on your spouse just because you're doing better. You know, that doesn't have an effect on it, because it does, right? You know?
Yeah.
And God does keep you busy, you know, during your journey, and as long as you stay close to him and you're being obedient, he will bless you. And don't be surprised if you find a new kind of busyness, because he will bless you in many ways. And try to enjoy those. And I know that was really hard for me to do, because he doesn't want you to stop living. You know, he wants you to continue living, but he also, you know, he's going to bless you. And it's important to take those small wins, those small victories, and to try to enjoy them on your journey. Because even, especially, I think when you have it, when it's taking a little long, you know, yeah. Because it can take months, it can take years, but he has a very sweet way of making those that time fruitful, you know, and he'll bless you, you know, with things here and there. So be thankful, you know, remember that, to thank him for all of it, because he does bless you during your journey.
Right. And I think it's in the gospel too. Like, even when you're going through a trial, be thankful for that too.
Yes, because something good's going to come out of it. You know, he says
it's a commandment. He commands you to have joy.
To have joy, and worry is a sin. So, you know, it's, try to remember that. And I know that's sometimes it was really hard for me. I couldn't see it, you know.
Yeah,
it was really hard to find joy at times.
And real quick, I just want to touch, because I know joy is one word you hear all the time. Find joy in this, find joy in that. And so it took me a while to really understand joy, because you think joy, you think happy and laughing and just doing all of these things, right? But I think from what I've read and listened to, joy is really, I think, one of the things that I had to do was let go of the past, live in the moment, mm-hmm. you know, find peace with the moment of, you know, I'm saved, my husband's saved, our marriage is being restored, you know, just the joy of, wow, I have Jesus in my life now. And I think that's important. So if you're like me in the beginning, where's my joy? You know, how come I'm not worried right of that? Like, why am I not happy and all this, right? But so don't expect that right away, but you find it, you choose it. And that was something I learned.
You have to choose it.
You have to choose it. And then the enemy's going to keep bringing up your past. He's not going to stop bringing up your past. He's going to keep trying to use your past that you've already been forgiven for, you know, and throw it in your face. And you have to make the choice.
And I think just as we're choose your people that you surround yourself, make sure you surround yourself with the positive people, with your Christian friends.
Good point.
You know,
yes.
And like Lorena said on another podcast, you know, if you don't have Christian friends, find a church that you feel at home and meet those people. Cause I think that's going to be one of your biggest helps too, is having those people to push you, encourage you. Yeah. Yep. And you will start finding joy. And that was, like I said, my biggest thing was choosing the joy. So now I know what joy is.
Yes.
Yay!
I didn't talk about that. I was like, I need to mention that.
No, that's a big point, because when, you know, because you're, you're making a stance and you're praying for your husband, but you don't like you're jumping into the battle, you know, you're jumping into a battle and we think, you know, you go in strong and okay, I'm going to do this. But then the enemy strikes and you're like, oh, forget it. Nothing's changed.
Right. Yeah.
But it's because we're not seeing all of it, you know, and you have to stay in it. Like you have, that's another choice. You have to choose to stay in it. And it might seem like you're in it alone because your spouse is not, you know,
where you're at,
but no, you stay in it because it's you and Jesus. You're not alone.
No. And we're going into this battle. You're blind in a sense, you know, you're not blind to the world. You know, you
right.
give yourself, you're saved. The veil is lifted. So you see life differently, but going into this battle, you're still kind of blind because you don't know what's mm-hmm. next.
Yes.
You know? And I like when mm-hmm. you tell the story about John from Game of Thrones, Lorena. You should bring that story up. Because isn't that kind of like the battle where
everybody's coming at him? And which one? Because I use Jon Snow a lot.
when he's at the very end, the big battle, I think, is where, and when all like that bad side's rushing to him and he gets trampled down. And so
it's the battle of the bastards. Yeah, it's the battle of the bastards. And he goes in and he sees that huge army just coming at him and they're throwing all these arrows and they're mm-hmm. falling all around him, but none of them strike him. But he pulls out he takes off his belt, but he pulls out his sword and he stands there with his sword and he stands firm and he's ready for them. And they go around him. All those go around him and he survives. And he even gets, you know, he's in the battle and he's fighting and he gets trampled and where he feels like he can't even breathe, but he pulls himself up. He pulls himself up. And then what happens right when he thinks there's no hope and that's it, you know, he's barely taking a breath. An army shows up. And that always reminds me of God's army. As you read scripture, it's God's army. Yeah. God's angel armies, his angel armies, he will show up. And he always, there's not a moment where he didn't show up for me. Like he will show up. And it might feel like, you know, you're at the end but no, he will show up and he will show up at exactly the right time. And I had to learn to trust him because so many times I wanted to give in and nope. You learn to trust him and you learn to wait on him and you put all your strength in your stance. Yep.
That's right.
Yvette, did you want to share with us a scripture? I think you mentioned a scripture and then you close us off with prayer.
Well, the scripture was the one from John. So I read that one. Are you ready for the closing?
Yes. I
think so. Okay. So this one is from the Gospel of Mark, and I think it's perfect. And I did ask him to send me a scripture for our podcast, and this is what he gave us. It's Mark chapter 8. It says, "If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you everybody for joining us. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.